Gospel distribution ministry presents Brother Julius Wilmy with faith building messages for the end time. Stay tuned and be blessed.
I want to sing a song. It's going to be like a testimony, and then I'll go into the message. There is a song that comes to my heart this morning as I was waking up, and I say I will use that to just praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
What can I give unto the Lord? All I have to say is thank you, Lord. Can you go? What can I give unto the Lord? All I have to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All I have to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All I have to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All I have to say is thank you, Lord. One more time. What can I give unto the Lord? All I have to say is thank you, Lord. What can I give unto the Lord? All I have to say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All I have to say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All I have to say is thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You say, why is this brother saying thank you, Lord? There was a testimony I've been wanting to give, which I have not given for some time. And I'm going to give that testimony as a leading to this message. Amen. I hope that is good and acceptable to you all. So my testimony has to do with, I know there could be somebody here that is looking for a job. There could be somebody here that is financially down. And the Lord knows about it. Amen?
Amen.
But I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. Because the challenge for you and me is to be able to walk with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
If you have not been walking with him, if you have not committed your life into his hand, then he is not obligated to help. He's not obligated. If he is your father, then he is obligated to help you.
Yeah.
Amen? So that is the first thing you must be assured of. Hey, he is my father. I've committed my life into his hand. Then he is obligated to help you.
Amen.
Then you have to trust him like that. I mean, rest in him on that ground that, hey, if you have a father, if earthly father, not the kind that you have left home, I mean, if you are 18, you have left home, we never leave home with this father. Amen?
Yeah.
When you are growing up and you are 18 years old, your father may push you out and say, you're on your own. And you have financial problems, you're on your own, you have to go to the bank or so. But this father, whom we call the everlasting father, is not that kind of father. You never leave home.
Yeah.
Amen? So then, if you have made him your father, you've got to make him your father. Then you've got to address him as your father. You've got to walk with him. The Bible called, God wants to say, Enoch, walk with God. You have to walk with him so that you are talking to him, he's talking to you as a father. Then he's responsible to take care of you. Amen?
Yeah.
So take God tangibly like that. So that is my first testimony, is that is how I have walked with God as far as I have been. I've been cast into his hands since the day I was born. I didn't know him. But after I knew him and I made him my father, he made it his responsibility to take care of me in any form, financially and all that stuff. So this is my testimony I'm going to give. About maybe 3 years, now about 2 years ago, if you say somebody is desperate, I was desperate, financially desperate. Because I started a business and then it went down and I was thinking, well, I better get a job. The father told me to go get a job. So I started looking. And I came to a point I was desperate, I would take any job. So that's what I'm trying to, I'm giving that testimony so that you also can say, hey, if you are in that situation and you have this, my God, as your father, rest in him. Amen. And trust in him. So I said I was desperate, and I was an engineer. Many people may know that. Some don't know. Engineer, computer engineer. But at my age, it's becoming very difficult to get a job, especially because the people that will interview you are in their 20s and 30s, and I'm not that close. Praise the Lord. So that is why it's very difficult when you are getting to about my age that to get a job. You say, oh, how old is this young man? I'm not that young. Praise the Lord. So I got some interviews. In fact, I went to an interview and I saw one guy say, hey, you look familiar. I said, no, he didn't look familiar. I said, you look familiar to me. And I said, were you at so-so place at so-so time? No. Why are you so looking familiar? Then when I told him where I worked before, he said, oh, my daddy worked there. It was the face of his daddy I was seeing. It's still so familiar to me. So you can see that I got some interview, but I didn't get that job. So what I was saying was that I got to a desperate situation. I would take any job. Even if it's just something like $30,000 a year, I mean, to pay my bills and so on. But nothing was coming. So the Lord knew that, and he was working on it. And in the end, the Lord got me something. So that's what I'm trying to say. You may be desperate today. You may be desperate. But if you just make him your father and he's your father, just trust in him and keep talking to him, he will work it out. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So that is my first testimony, that in all those situations, the Lord worked out something, that I got a contract, and then in the end, everything seems to work out. Praise the Lord. And the other testimony I'm going to give has to do with before that job, just when I thought I was starting a business, 2004, which is going to lead to this particular testimony or a particular sermon I'm going to give today. About 2004, I started the what we call investment business, which, because the real estate thing seems to be working fine, I said, wow, maybe I should stay in this real estate business. So I had some apartments then, and I sold them, and I was about to cash on those. And I said, yeah, I should stay in that business. And the thought came to my mind that maybe I should go to the bank, buy some plots of land, develop it, build some and sell them, build properties and sell them like a developer. So I was leaning into that direction. And I saw one particular plot, it's a price. And I was negotiating for that. I love the place. The man has his house there, and he has almost so many acres. That year, this will be good. You start with this one. You're already going to sell one house he's living in now, and about 3 acres or 4 acres that we can build something on. That was my plan. And I was just making an offer, and he was rejecting the offer. But you see, what I wanted to point out, why is the testimony to me, is that was 2004. The Lord, whom I have said is my father, if he is your father, and he is your father too, he has to be talking to you and leading you. If he is leading us, he said, surely he shall deliver you from the snares of the fowler. Amen? Amen. Surely, that is the promise of God. If you, and we are going to read that, I'm going to read that in first in a moment, because that's how the Lord is leading me in this sermon. In Psalm 91, what did he promise us? In the book of Psalm 91, he said, surely he shall deliver you from the snares of the fowler and from the noisome person. Psalm 91, verse 3. Well, that was a snare. What does snare? Because my topic today is snares. Amen? Amen. That is the topic for this exhortation, is snares of the fowler. Well, when you say snare, does that mean the devil is the one trying to make me go buy this? It does not really mean the devil is trying to make me buy it. It might be you, it can be in your mind, it could be your steps. But the Bible says, even all the steps that we take, if we have made God our refuge and our salvation, he say, and we are dwelling in that secret place of the Most High, he says, surely he will deliver you. Because he could see what you couldn't see. Amen? God can see what I cannot see. To me, that looks lucrative. If I can just buy that thing, I already draw out my plan that, gee, I'll buy this much, the whole so many acres, and I will divide it into so many lots, and it's going to work out, and just build one at a time, build two at a time, and people will be buying it, and because they were buying those days. But God saw what was coming, which I didn't see. Amen? And in fact, the Lord sometimes told me that, yeah, it's going to work, I should do it this way. And I said, okay, Lord, just step by step, I was thinking the Lord was going to make me go into that direction. But he saw what was coming, and somehow he blocked it. That's all I could say. The Lord blocked it. That's all I could say. Because I already gone to the mortgage company, the one that helped me to get the apartment complex, and they are already talking to the loan officer that, oh, this guy is faithful, he's going to pay off, and it's this and that, and this is construction loan, it's going to, and it's okay, let him fill the application. I still have the application, but the guy was not accepting my offer. That was the only thing. Otherwise, if he had accepted the offer, I would have gone that direction and run into this situation where nobody's buying anymore and his prices are going low. But that was what I was saying. The Lord said, surely he will deliver you from the snares of the fowler. So that is why I said, if you have made God your father, directly or indirectly, he is going to be responsible for you. Amen? Amen? He's going to be responsible for you. And what I was thinking today, that, Lord, what am I going to talk about? And the Lord said, snares. So I said, okay. I didn't even plan this exhortation or this testimony until, and I was already in church. I said, wait, we just fit perfectly, the snares, because that would have been, that was a snare. The devil didn't lay it off. My plan is to go in this direction, and the Lord knew what was coming, and he delivered me from the snares of the fowl. Because just some few months later, you know, even those who have already built houses are not selling because prices are going down. I would have bought it so high and would be able to build on it. And that would have been terrible. So the Lord said, talk about snares. And I'm going to talk about snares today as we go into the exhortation. Let's bow our head. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach us, Lord. Direct this exhortation. Let it bless our hearts so that we will be guided by the Holy Ghost in this. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. He said, surely he shall deliver thee from the snares of the fowler. Amen? Amen. Now, what is snare? It's actually anything that is going to put you into trouble is snare, not so. Anything that may end up in trouble is snare of the fowler. Well, the Bible says snares of the fowler as if somebody else was setting it up for you. It may not be somebody else, it may not even be Satan, it may just be, it's there in the world. It's already there in the world. All we have to do is to be guarded. It's almost like a line mine. The military went go for line, and they just know that if the Lord will guide you, maybe you avoid those landmines. It reminded me of a testimony I heard from somebody on radio, I think on TBN, where they said it has to be God that delivered the Jewish army many years ago in the days of maybe 67 war. And they said they were about to go across a field, and there was no way they could see. It was foggy and everything. There was about, and then one of them was the captain, perhaps knew God or knew Jesus or believed in Jesus. And because of him, somehow, the Lord did a wonder for them. While they were still waiting, somehow a wind just came, supernaturally, which they were not planning, and just blew away some dust from the ground. And it was a mighty wind just came, and they would have said, gee, where did this wind come from, and try to hide. And the wind blew away a lot of dust from that area, and after the dust was blown away, they saw landmines. Almost like they could see it with their own eyes. They don't need any special gadget. I said, well, God can deliver us from snares of the fowl. So snares are things that may be planted by the devil, There may be something that is already there that we just didn't know. We might walk into the trouble. And they could come in form of your own words can be snares. That it can come in form of words, and it can also be in form of deeds. And that's why I'm going to give two or three testimonies, examples from the Bible, and then talk on how we should avoid those snares. Amen? Now, first of all, open with me to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 17. So you can see that with this type of topic, everybody needs this kind of help from the Lord. Amen. Because in our life, we do business, we are in employment, or we say some things, and words can also be snares. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 17, he said, "In vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird." You say, how does that help me? In vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. Now you can say, well, how can, if you think about that verse in a moment, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. You know, let's meditate on that Bible verse. Snares are traps, like you know, but do you think birds can recognize if a human being was spreading a snare? Would the birds recognize that's a snare, even though they could see him spreading it there? And they saw this guy put some corns and whatever it is that they, and they saw that, well, this couldn't be real food. They must be a trap for us. Do you think the birds have enough wisdom to recognize that? But this Solomon said, in vain the snare is spread in the sight of a bird. So then it's not the physical bird that's going to escape it. It's got to be the spiritual bird. So if you are going to escape those snares, it's got to be God that is watching over you. Amen. Amen? Amen? Our God that is watching over us is the one that's going to make us escape any snare, whether it is laid up by the devil or by circumstances. The world is already set up. Who knows whether there is famine coming? God knows. Whether there is going to be a drought? God knows. Like I was just talking about, God knew that this thing was coming, the stock market was going to crash, or this thing was going to happen to the housing market, and I didn't know, and many people didn't know, and I could have just went into that business real full up to my neck in some almost $1 million loan, which I won't be able to even pay back. So that would have been a snare, not so. So, but it was laid in the sight of the bird. God is the one that is watching, not me. Amen? So that is the first verse. You know that verse is actually talking about the only way a bird can escape is when God is watching over that bird. So you and I put your trust in the Lord first. And there are promises in chapter 91, Psalm 91 verse 2 that we just read, when it said, this is the promise for those that are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Then David said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. God is going to be our refuge and our fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Then he's promising, he says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Amen? Praise the Lord. I said snares can come in form of, it can be a form of words. Words, that is, if you say things that are wrong, that it can put you in snares. And let's take one or two examples of how some words have put some people in snares. Because from the examples of other people, we will learn so that we guard our mouth. From the examples of other people, we will watch so that we be careful of what we want to get into. Like I just gave you my own testimony. Does not mean you shouldn't get into business. It just mean let God be your guide. Amen. Let make sure you are hearing from him. Make sure even when you look as if you everything is right, make sure he is there to watch over you. Amen. You can even, it could like, actually he could tell you to go ahead and then say stop. That's not mean that you say, well, gee, but I know it was God that said I should go ahead. Why do you say stop now? He could say stop. Why not? And that is where many times we forget ourselves fooled. It looks as if God told me to go into this direction and then God says stop, and we think that couldn't be God. How can he tell me to stop? We have to be You have to know, even in real life, God can, you can be led to go in that direction. God can also say, stop right now. Let me give an example in the Bible. The Bible said David, he wouldn't do anything unless God told him to go ahead and fight the battle. So the Philistines came against David, and he asked God, should I go against them? God said, go against them and you will defeat them. And he defeated them. They fled. About a year later, the Philistines came again. And David was wise. He said, God, should I go against them again? Because he was a man after God. He always asked before God, before he would do anything. And God said, no, don't go against them. He said, you, why would you say no? God gave me a new strategy. He said, go round about. Come from behind. See, God asked because God knows that the enemy has changed his strategy. So God has to change his own strategy. Amen?
Amen.
And but we couldn't see it. He saw it. So that is why I said, don't think because the Lord told you to go in this direction and then another instruction says stop, you begin to question that instruction. No, it could still be the Lord telling you to stop. So you just have to hear from him.
Amen?
Amen? Take another example of Abraham. God gave Isaac to Abraham, isn't he? And then came one day after Isaac was the only son he had left. Ishmael was gone, and Isaac was perhaps 12 years old. And then God, same God said, take this your son, Isaac, and go sacrifice him for me, burnt offering on this mountain. If you and I are Abraham, we will question that or refuse to go and question the voice that spoke to us. Or a vision that said that, or a dream that said that, and said, this must be the devil. You wanted me to kill the only son and the promised child? See, that is why I'm saying sometimes, just keep listening and take the steps as long as you are certain the Lord is leading you. But if you have committed your life into his hand and he has taken you as he is your father, then you can rest assured he's going to take care of everything that you have committed into his hand. Amen? But what can be snares? Let's read this. 2 Kings chapter 7. I will tell you one or two stories of how the words of our mouth can be a snare to our soul if we are not careful. This is the story of Elisha the prophet. In 2 Kings chapter 7, I always like to put some stories with sermons because it kind of draw it in. You can remember that story and then we remember what they said about that story. This is the story of Elijah the prophet. There had been famine in Samaria where he was living, and the whole city was shut up because the enemy was surrounding the city. And at the last minute, when God was going to bring a miracle to the city, Elisha had been praying and the king was desperately praying, and they wanted something to happen. But they have shut themselves almost how many years? 1 year, 1.5 years, no more food in the city. Then came the word that was going to deliver them. Elisha was going to give the word of the Lord to the king just that day. And this is the snare that one man came with the king. The king came to Elisha the prophet with his right man, right hand, Lord. They call him Lord, upon whom he always leaned. That means he's the next in command. So let's read it in 2 Kings chapter 7. If you don't know the story, you can go read the old story in chapter 6 when there was this war that was going on. There was no war yet. They just surrounded the city. And but these people that shut themselves in the city, they were now having no more food left. So that was what he called famine. But God has been waiting and they have been praying, and that the last time God was going to send this miracle. And this is where we are, chapter 7, verse 1. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. That was a prophecy. Now they said, then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, might this thing be? So he just doubted what the man of God said. So Elisha replied to him and said, behold, thou shalt see with thy eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. Now you all know the story if you have been familiar with the scriptures. That is a snare. The man put himself into that snare. It became like with the word that he said in replying to what God prophesied, it was a snare for his soul. He did not eat of that food because they trampled him to death the second day when this thing happened. Why? Because he put it upon himself to respond. Okay, well, that is a snare. That's one of what we call a snare. The word of his mouth put him in trouble. So think about that. That's a snare. What do you mean by snares? Snares can be either you, what you say can cause trouble, or what you do can cause trouble. Amen? So God will deliver us from the snares of the fowler, is what we are saying. But that's an example of what is a snare. Let's look at another example of what could be a snare. The same story of Elisha the prophet. 2 Kings chapter 2. In 2 Kings chapter 2, we saw this story of these children. They call them children. From verse 23, I will read. Now, this is also Elisha the prophet. He has just watched Elijah went up to heaven, and he was now the next prophet. So he was going back to his city, and the Bible recorded this episode in verse 23. And as he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him, and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head. Well, they call them little children. Mostly they will be teenagers. Only teenagers do things like that. Well, I remember when I was little, I could have done some little things like that. When I was not teenager, 10, 12, between that up to 13, 14, 15. Those are teenagers, of course. They were mocking a man because he was bald, and they were saying it verbally. And what we were doing in those days, we say it and we went and hide. But when they did it to the wrong person on that day, it cost them. They said, what is that? They were saying the words of their mouth became a snare because the devil roused them up to do that. And this is what happened to those children, they were called. And verse 24, and he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tear 40 and two children of them. So 42 children were killed by the animals just because they were ensnared by the word of their own mouth. So when we say what are snares, they can come by words of that people say. So the Bible gives us a lot of exhortation to guard our mouth. Amen. Not only little children, because adults also have to guard their mouth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. This is an instruction God gives to us when it comes to our mouth, the word of our mouth. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, I read verse 7, 6 and 7. This is the word of the wise man Solomon. He says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hand? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. In short, it's telling us that watch what you say out of your mouth.
This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi. Give your life today to the Lord Jesus Christ and be filled with the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, that you touch all the people that are listening, help them to understand and to follow thee and read the Bible in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Write to me and we shall send you some exhortation. Our address has changed. The new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050. Again, our new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050, USA. On the internet, www.gospeldistribution.org. Send us email on the internet to the webmaster at gospeldistribution.org. Thank you.